Now, I want to just say a little prayer before we do the sermon, and I'm going to invite you into the Lord's Prayer after that, since I neglected to do that the previous prayer, and it's a really great prayer. So will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you woke us up, that you gave us sunshine and not too much snow on the road. We thank you, though, that you have given us some moisture this week, and we're grateful for it, however it may come. We thank you for the people who surround us in this sanctuary. Together, we know that we are one and we are strong when we are in you. Let us be in this time of worship, just rejoicing in the music and the prayer and the word and the fellowship, that we might truly seek your spirit wherever it will touch us this morning. So that in all things, both the meditation of my heart and the ears of our souls, that we are one in you. And as one, together, Lord, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I don't know whether this is usual that I'm right down here by you. I'm just going to like freak people out and come up and talk to you. But, you know, in Elizabeth, we have like this many rows. Now, granted, they're usually pretty full, but, you know, that means that people are sitting here, whether they want to be or not. So I need to be close to you because you're close to my heart. And I want to ask you a question. I'll ask it to you several ways. Maybe you'll have different answers. So you're in Bermuda, and you're trying to describe snow to a child there. How do you do it? Okay, this might be easier. You're in the Amazon rainforest in a tribe of pygmies, and you want to explain baseball. How do you do it? All right, you'll get this one. How do you make sense of grits to an Eskimo? Wow. I'm surprised at you guys. It's a little early. Maybe you haven't had enough coffee. Well, the scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, Jesus kind of finds himself in that same situation because he needs to try to talk about the kingdom of God to a group of people who are just sort of struggling to hold on to their little shard of first century Palestine. So wouldn't you think that the Son of God would come up with this inspirational flight of soaring verbal grandiosity? You know, mountains, eagles, sunrise, sunset. So listen to how Jesus does this. In the fourth chapter of Mark, verse 26, here it goes. Hang on to your seats. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground." Huh? Seeds? The kingdom of God? Someone scattering seed? I can do that in my backyard for all it'll do me in this drought. Some kingdom. But Jesus doesn't back off. Things are not as they will be. Seeds will be scattered. From them will come the kingdom of God. Now, this whole fourth chapter of Mark is just ripe, with seed analogies. The first one, right at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus has been kind of chased out into a boat on the sea because the crowd is so big, they just kind of keep pushing him that direction. So he gets into the boat and he says, "Listen, there was a sower who went out to sow." Y'all familiar with this parable, the one where some of the seed lands on a rocky path and some of the seed lands on hard ground and some of the seed lands in thorns and some of the seed lands on good soil? Yes, familiar? Shake your heads. Okay, I gotta do something to scare you. All right, so he starts with that one, and then a few verses later, he has another seed analogy. He says, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of the seeds on earth, and yet grows in to the mightiest of bushes. Things are not as they will be." a mustard seed will be planted. What is this guy? What is it with this guy and seeds? He needs a new speechwriter, that's for sure. Why does he do it? Why does Jesus turn the kingdom of God into this laughably ordinary issue of seeds? Now, mind you, at this point, the crowds have gone away, and he's talking to the apostles and all the other disciples who follow him. But still, his inner circle is hardly the aristocracy of Galilee. In fact, most of them come from families who live on sea and seed. What little they earn is constantly eroded by Roman taxation. So in that light, seeds are hardly the stuff of kingdom dreams. Why does he do it? No, I actually mean, why does he do it? Why would he do that? Why not talk about beautiful mountain peaks and sun blazing across the sky? Why seeds? Huh? They know seeds. They know seeds, right? That's what makes for a good parable. They know what a seed is. You could have talked about fish, too. They know what those are. I'm not sure how fish would have worked in this context, but he could have. If you're going to explain snow in Bermuda, you know what you have to do? You have to say, can I go to your refrigerator? Have you got some ice in there? Let me just shave a little bit off, right? If you're going to explain baseball to the pygmies, you're going to have to find yourself a pretty round little rock and start having a catch. You have to start with what is before you can get to what will be. The kingdom, the seeds of change are being scattered. From them will come the kingdom of God. But this fourth chapter of Mark isn't just about seeds. It's also a chapter of light and dark. And secrets. He's telling secrets. Because Jesus says to his apostles and his disciples, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Wait, the kingdom of God is secret? Well, not exactly. You see, there is also this story about a light that can't be hidden, you know, under a bushel basket or under the bed, because there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. The disciples and the apostles may know something new for now, but it will eventually come to life. The scattered seed even has a secret. In verse 27, our next verse of Mark 4, says it this way, beginning with the person who scattered the seed. He would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would grow, and he would not know how. Ha! It's the biblical endorsement of the siesta, right here in the instruction manual. To advance the kingdom of God, here's what you do. One, scatter seed. Two, take a nap. It's all being taken care of. Seeds are fine hidden in the deep, dark earth. They do some of their best stuff in secret, and then they come to light. So, here's where we are. Jesus also said the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seeds on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. Now, that brings me to verbs. I know, you saw that coming from 100 miles away. The word that's translated as scatter in our text is the Greek word ballet, and as I'm sure you've already guessed, it is a second aorist active subjunctive third person singular extension of the word ballo, which means to throw, right? You got that? The aorist, the subjunctive, third person singular, you got third person singular. Don't lie about the rest of it. I spent a year studying Greek, and I want to feel a little bit good about this. All right, so there is something that is interesting about that aorist and subjunctive part of our verb definition. The aorist part of the verb, the aorist tense, tells us that this verb indicates a unified action. It's a one thing that has happened in the past. But the subjunctive tells us it hasn't happened yet. Not yet. but will be. The seed hasn't been scattered. See, the mood of the subjunctive, it's a little bit of a cranky verb. It lives in doubt. And it's expressing a reality that will be, but isn't yet, depending on future developments. So hear that line again. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed. Although technically, the scatter is more throw, and actually throw with force. Let me give it to you this way. It's as if I said to my daughter, if someone would stack that wood that's been dumped in the backyard, there might be something in it for her. The verb and my mood is hopeful, but the wood is not yet stacked, right? Now, this verb, ballet, is the only aorist subjunctive verb. Doesn't that make you feel better? All the rest are a little more ordinary. So we know that when the seed is scattered, the sprouting and the growing, as well as the sleeping and the rising, are going to happen. But meanwhile, we need that someone to scatter, or technically throw, the seed. Now, who is that someone who would scatter? It's just what I said when I was sitting down with this. It's like, okay, well, who is this? Who is it? Who? Just take a guess. Take a wild guess. The disciples? All right. Any other guesses? Huh?
Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit? Okay, Holy Spirit. We're going to call the Holy Spirit Jesus, because that's who we got right now. How about that? All right. Who else?
Us.
That's my sermon, folks. Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to start with Jesus, because he's the first one talking about scattering the seed. So, and then we have to ask, okay, if it's Jesus, why hasn't he scattered it yet? Or has he? Is he kind of playing a little, having a little fun with the disciples? Now, let's say my daughter took that hint and she stacked the wood. And she comes in from a snowy day of stacking, or a snowy few hours of snacking. And I say to her, you know, if someone had made a homemade spaghetti sauce while you were stacking, we could have a wonderful meal now. Now, do you suppose I'm trying to make her feel bad because nobody did? Well, she already knows the answer to it, because she can smell the spaghetti sauce. And just that wafting of basil and oregano and tomatoes and all of that coming to her nose, she knows it's already been done. I'm just having a little fun with her. Whoa, having fun with my microphone, too. Sorry, Doug. Is this what Jesus is doing? If someone would scatter seed, it would sprout and grow. Well, someone has been scattering seed. I'm going to go back now to that original parable of the seed that starts this chapter, which is the one most familiar to us, the seed that falls on several kinds of ground but only grows when it gets to good soil. What does Jesus say that seed is when he talks to the disciples to explain the parable to them, because they weren't really very bright? And that's a whole nother sermon. What is that seed? God's love, you're close. God's love is found how? How do we know about God's love?
Bearing good fruit,
but you're ahead of me because the seed's not planted yet, or the seed's not planted yet, but it hasn't sprouted. But you're right, we got to get to the bearing good fruit. The Word of God. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. He is planting the Word of God in people so that the Word of God will grow into the love of God and bear good fruit. And he's told them that, unlike other people outside their circle, they've been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Now, it's going to come to light, just like the seed grows a shoot that comes to light. It doesn't stay a secret. But he's told them that. Now, he seems to hint that not only have the words of the kingdom been scattered among them, but that this sower, technically it's not a sower, it's someone, which is sort of interesting, this someone who would scatter seeds is not limited in past or future. That is a verb tense that keeps on going and going and going, right? So somebody here said the disciples would sow seeds, correct? Isn't that what Jesus is teaching them to do? To become the living word of God when he's not there present with them? And then what happens? It all dies with them. Okay, good. I'm done. It keeps going forward. It's the original pay it forward. Now, Jesus has also indicated that the seed first has to take root and will take root and grow in them. How it will grow and manifest in each apostle and disciple is as unique as each apostle and disciple. But he knows that it will take root and grow. Because just as every seed, did you know this, that every seed inside of it, I'm not making this up, actually has a little tiny miniature of the plant it's going to become? Like it's already there in the seed. And just like the seed has that little miniature of what it will become, so the Word of God carries with it all the power of what it will eventually become. God's Word is like a seed, a self-contained fuel station with everything needed to launch first the root and then the stalk. So Jesus completes the parable by saying, the earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. The one who scatters does not necessarily know how that works. In the same way that ancient farmers may not have known how a tiny seed becomes a big fruit tree. Now, no doubt they know about the necessity of water and sunlight and keeping the weeds away, but did they know about enzymes in the seed and respiration and cell duplication and that there's a little teeny tiny plant right inside that seed? Could they see the seed putting down the anchor of the root first and then notice how it absorbed nutrients to feed the growing shoot? Probably not. But our parable says that the scatterer does not know how the seed grows and develops. Does Jesus really not know how the Word of God would grow in his first disciples and apostles? Yeah, I'm going to plant this. I hope it's going to work. But, you know, if not, well, I'll be going home. So I guess you guys will. Does he really not know? In this same chapter of Mark, the disciples come to Jesus right before we come to this parable, and they say to him, Jesus, you know that story you told about the sower and the seeds and it fell on all kinds of ground? What in the heck did that mean? And Jesus says to him, do you not know what this parable means? How are you going to know what all the others mean? Jesus may have had some questions about how exactly this word was going to take root and grow. I don't think he ever questioned that it would. But, you know, things were off to a little bit of a rough start. How are you going to understand everything else? But here's the deal. Things are not as they will be. Seeds of change have been scattered, and from them will come the kingdom of God. Our story can't end with Jesus and the disciples. If it does, we smile and think that Jesus' inner circle got all the good stuff and we got hosed. They got all the secrets and we got the book telling us they got all the secrets. But that's not how it works. Here's where we have to embrace the beauty of Jesus' favorite teaching tool, the word we know as parable, parabole in Greek. The word actually describes two things placed side by side. It's as if I took this Bible and this friendship pad, put them side by side, and said, so what do you see about these two things together that you don't see when they're apart? It invites us into contemplation with Jesus. What does this mean? He doesn't explain very many of the parables in the text that we have. Because he wants us to look and see and think, what does it mean when these two things are together? And what does it mean if we only look at them one at a time? I don't have the answer to the parable of the Bible and the friendship pad. It's a prop, but you may think of one. I'll be interested to hear if you do. So you're invited to contemplate. You're invited to enter it personally. Was Jesus the someone scattering seeds? Yes, you've already said. Were the disciples the someone scattering seeds? Yes, we've already said. Are we the someones who are scattering seeds, throwing seeds? Yes. And from generation to generation, seed growers become seed throwers because things are not yet as they will be. The fruit is not ripe, the kingdom is not yet come. Now, since I've been testing you on your Bible literacy, what is this fruit? What is this fruit? I'll start you. Love? There's seven of them, folks. Thank you. All right. Yes? Somebody say gentleness? All right. Peace. Hope. Very nice. Faith. These are these fruits that the seeds, for which the seeds have been planted. These are the evidence that the kingdom of God has come. Is the kingdom of God come? Maybe not just yet. Think Syria or Tunisia or, you know, any of those kinds of places. But the thing is, we can't throw the seed. We can't become the seed throwers if we haven't at least begun to grow the fruit. Listen again to what our scripture says when we put it all together. He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain of the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. What the parable tells us is that it's not our actions, but grace, combined with our openness to be tilled and cultivated, that produces fruit, which is the end point. It's not the seed or the seed thrower. It's not the soil or the sprout or the stalk. The kingdom of God doesn't depend on us getting it right. The kingdom of God does not depend on us getting it at all. You say, well, I don't have to go to church then, right? No. The kingdom of God doesn't depend on us getting it right. It doesn't depend on us getting it all. Remember Jesus' inner circle? If you've read the Gospels, you know over and over and over the disciples were busy not getting it. And you can just so often picture Jesus just ripping his hair out. Surprised we never see a picture of him bald. But we're here today because they were there then. And scattered seeds sprouted and grew in them despite their lack of understanding. In the same way, what we parade as our own fruit will never carry the day. Me, myself, and I cannot usher in the kingdom. This work is not ours to do because we do not know how. But when me, myself, and I takes a vacation, even an hour off, the unseen work of God who ripens all grain and fruit will carry the day. And even if at first it's just a day of small things, well, from an acorn grows a mighty oak. Things are not yet what they will be, but seeds of change have been thrown. So I guess we have to ask ourselves, not what have I done for God lately, but what have I stepped aside so that God could do through me? That, my friends, is the coming spring, the greening of the kingdom of God beginning to sprout and grow. Amen. And speaking of things greening and sprouting and growing, I believe that we're going to sing a song for the beauty of the earth that will remind us of God's gracious action, not only in the earth, but in our lives.